Hello, everyone. You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and thank you for joining us for this program.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today we're bringing you a heartwarming conversation about love, faith, and purpose that spans more than five decades of marriage. Our guests today are John and Mary Lois Gibson, a remarkable couple whose journey together has been marked by God's faithfulness and their commitment to serving others. John Gibson is a successful businessman and real estate developer who's dedicated his company to supporting various ministries over the years. He's also a founding member of our board of directors here at the James Dobson Family Institute. Mary Lois Gibson, his wife, brings her own inspiring story of following God's leading, from her background in healthcare and nutrition to her passion for children and homeschool education. Together, the Gibsons have been married over 50 years and have raised two children while touching countless other young lives along the way. Their story reminds us that when we surrender our plans to God's purposes, He takes us on adventures we never could have imagined. Now, what you'll hear today is particularly special because the Gibsons share deeply personal memories of how Dr. Dobson influenced their lives and ministry. Through their decades of friendship with Dr. and Mrs. Dobson, you'll discover how one man's faithful investment in relationships created a network of families committed to serving God's kingdom. The interview you're about to hear was recorded shortly before Dr. James Dobson was called home to glory on August the 21st. Here now is Gary Bauer with John and Mary Lois Gibson on today's edition of Family Talk.
Hello, welcome to Dr. James Dobson Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy here at the JDFI, and I'm also the host of the podcast Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Check us out. On today's program, we're really pleased to be joined by a husband and wife team who are advancing the kingdom of God in just remarkable ways. John and Mary Lois Gibson share a passion for ministry, which really is unparalleled. And of course, they're great friends of this ministry. John is a successful businessman and real estate developer whose company has been deeply committed to supporting a variety of ministries over the years. And we're very blessed to be one of those ministries. They've been friends and supporters of Dr. and Mrs. Dobson for decades. John was a founding member of the board of directors here at the James Dobson Family Institute. And that support for JDFI continues, especially today, in ways that we'll be discussing in our time together. John and his wife, Mary Lois, have been married more than 50 years. And Mary Lois has an incredible testimony to share with us as well. They are the parents, in their own words, of two incredible children and grandparents of eight of the brightest and best grandchildren. And I'll argue with that, guys, because we've got four of our children and eight grandchildren too. But we know you love them all just as we love ours. John and Mary Lois Gibson, welcome today to the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk. We're really looking forward to having this time together.
Oh, thank you so much, Gary. We have tremendous respect for you with all that you've done over the years to promote faith, including helping the Christians understand the importance of being active in all phases of life, including the political realm.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that. As I said, you guys have been married for 50 years, and man, 50 years is a long time for anything. But these days, a 50-year marriage is special. And, you know, I always love to hear, and we often get a lot of feedback from our listeners. They love to hear how people met. You know, how did God bring them together? So would you share your story with us about how you met and when you realized that you were made for each other?
Well, happy to do that. I'll let Mary Lois start the sharing. But first, I have to make a correction. Actually, we've been married 106 years, 53 years apiece.
That's great, John.
Even more remarkable, right?
Yes, it is.
So we were introduced kind of kicking and screaming by each of our roommates who had met on a California freeway, and that's a story of its own. And they each kept saying, you guys need to meet. And we kept saying, no, thank you. We've gotten the victory over blind dates, not doing that again. And just kept putting them off and putting them off. And finally, each of them said individually to each of us, you know, you really need to meet because you guys are both kind of strange in some of the same ways. And I wasn't sure if that was really a compliment, but I think both of us decided to get our roommates off our back and say, fine, all right, we'll meet.
Mm, that's fantastic. John, what's your version of this?
It's similar, but what Mary Laws did not know was my roommate and I had a plan. And I said, you know, I don't want to spend a whole day together with somebody that's just totally incompatible. So let's do this in phases. Let's go meet at the,
At the mission.
At the San Juan Capistrano mission. Mm-hmm. And we'll go through that and we'll have brunch. But unless I give you the high sign, we're done. Okay? And we had three phases, three different sections. But however, we wound up having dinner together. We wound up walking on the beach. And so we far exceeded the initial plan.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that actually sounds very romantic. So at that point, when you first met and you began this journey, were each of you already coming from a faith-based home? Or where were you in life in regard to your faith perspective?
Well, I definitely was had grown up in a faith-based home. I was part of a faith-based community in going to school, at least through some of high school and definitely through college. So, but I feel like as I look back, mm-hmm. I had kind of put some of it a little bit compartmentalized.
Yes.
At that time, like a lot of post-collegiates. So I was not like actively pursuing at that point, but I was still very much committed.
Mm. Well, and I, without question, was a Christian in name. I was not a practicing Christian. And it wasn't until several years later that a gentleman came to my life and did the same thing Jesus did with his disciples. Basically, discipled me for a few years, helping me first understand that God wants to be part of every portion of your life, not just Sundays at church. And I praise God that that man walked into my life because at the time I met him, I thought I was God's gift to real estate development. And I had pride. And I say, if I hadn't met Dwight Hill, I might be worth 10 times what I'm worth or bankrupt, but likely would have been bankrupt morally. And so I give praise to anybody who puts their arm around a fellow friend and says, let me explain to you the gift of what God can do for you.
And it wasn't always just by explanation. It was the way he lived.
Yes, without question. Yeah.
Wow. That actually, I mean, growing up in a Christian home is wonderful, but it also can lull us to sleep. Yeah, you know, we go to church, we say a prayer periodically, but it can often be a stumbling block to actually being serious about your faith. And a lot of folks we end up talking to on Family Talk have a similar sort of story. John, I remember not too long ago, you were in Washington. We had a chance to either grab breakfast, I think. And I believe I remember this correctly. You were in the Air Force, correct?
I was. I had the privilege of actually following my dad's footsteps. My dad was actually a decorated hero of World War II and the Korean War. He served for 22 years in the Air Force as a pilot. And when the Vietnam War came along, I decided to follow in his footsteps and had the privilege of becoming an Air Force pilot myself and served for a few years, including in the Vietnam conflict, although I never felt like I earned my combat pay because we were transporting troops in and out of Vietnam and I knew where the throttle stops were leaving Vietnam.
Well, but hey, John, you served your country, my friend. That's a wonderful thing. It's a great country, and I know you're a patriot, and you care deeply about the American military and the men and women that volunteer and risk their lives to protect this great country. Did you have any experiences during those years that that ended up then molding your life further? And was it after you left the military that you went into real estate?
Yes. Went into real estate, started as a leasing agent, and then by the grace of God, I say that without question, I'm a whole lot more blessed than I am smart. And God allowed us to form a development company in which we used, we actually built office parks and industrial parks, and then over the years transitioned started acquiring apartment communities. So we've done that and have the privilege of serving wonderful tenants in five cities in the Northwest. Mm. But you ask about other experiences. And I have to say, without question, one of the biggest experiences that dramatically affected, I think, our marriage and affected our life was the privilege of getting acquainted with Dr. Dobson. There are so many people that I've met because of Jim Dobson and so many principles that he has taught us that have allowed us to do what we do.
You know, we all have a story, right, about how we first crossed paths with Dr. Dobson. And not surprisingly, mine involves being in government with Reagan. And Dr. Dobson and I met when I was in the middle of a battle. But it's amazing how many lives he's touched over the years. Mary Lois, now you had some plans for your life and then God redirected you. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I kind of grew up in healthcare and so ended up as a dental hygienist and then later went further into the world of nutrition. So I've always had a concern for what does healthy look like, not from a very holistic perspective. At the time that I met John, I was actually planning to go work in Europe. And so it was kind of an inconvenient time to meet John.
I've been inconvenient many times.
But the Lord kind of showed me, my plans were to go work in Switzerland. And I learned that to get a work permit in Switzerland at that time, even though I had a dentist who wanted to hire me that I had met, I had to instead contract with the Swiss government. Mm-hmm. And they would tell me what job I was to do for a minimum of 12 months. And I thought, I'm not even willing to write a blank check with my life to my own government. I'm sure not going to do it to another government. So decided to stay home and figure out who this guy was instead. So that was some redirection. The other major redirection in my life was birthing children. And that just really altered my perspective about what's really important. And so ever since, developing kids to be all that God has instilled in them and wants them to be has been a burning passion.
And Mary Lewis is very humbled with what she said there because she declared that raising her two kids was the most important job in her life. And she has such a plethora of kids that she's reached out to over the years. Mm. Kids, teenagers, young adults that have learned what it's like to be in love with Jesus Christ because of their relationship with Mary Lewis.
Wow. Yeah, I became a homeschool enthusiast, and my good friend was the daughter of Raymond Moore, who was kind of the father of the homeschool movement.
Yes.
So she was very helpful, and we homeschooled our kids together. So I really got into that whole concept of integrated learning and making God part of everything that you learn about. So that's kind of been my approach to trying to inspire kids to be all that they can be and to pursue new things and stuff that's hard and creative.
Yeah. Again, John, I think you and I talked about this a while, a number of times, actually, that I remember when I was at the Department of Education, there was a professor at Harvard, and he was actually a smart guy. And he said that the research shows that every child needs to have an adult in their lives that's crazy about them, that puts them ahead of anything else, in front of a career, in front of a new spouse, in front of whatever it is. And unfortunately, we have so many children in America, as we know, that don't have somebody like that. So, true. Mary Lois, the fact that you reached out to children other than your own and that's been a focus for both of you, the country desperately needs that, you know, for those precious children.
Well, I'm glad you touched on that, because that's a hot topic in my mind. I ache over the fact that 4 out of 10 children in America wake up in a home without a dad. And I'm on a campaign, and I've had the privilege of getting acquainted and building a friendship with a friend of the minister, the Dobson ministry, in the form of Victor Marks. And we've talked a lot about, and he's highly involved with the issue of helping men across America realize that they need to stand up. They need to stand up as gentle, brave, caring men who will reach out and take care of things. I mean, I've said so many times recently, is there any social dilemma in America that wouldn't be cured or at least dramatically improved if men would stand up and be men? Why is it in so many places like the school boards where women are standing up and saying, you're not going to give this garbage to our kids? Where are the men? And so many times that men just need to stand up and be the kind of man that God wants them to be.
Young men in our culture, particularly in the last decade plus, they get all these different messages. You know, what is it to even be a man? Does it mean you go to the gym 5 times a week and build your muscles? Or are men supposed to be showing their feminine side? You know, there's just all these mixed messages. But John, you're right. And Dr. Dobson has written about this so eloquently that God wants men to be husbands and fathers and courageous and to help the weak and to stand alongside of the women in their lives and the children in their lives. And if you look at all the growth of government in Washington, a good bit of it is because there aren't families doing these things. And so government steps in and does those things very badly.
No question.
Exactly.
No question. And it doesn't have to be the big stuff. I love Victor's book, The Dangerous Gentleman. And in that, he's talked about some of the things he's done, protecting children in America and across the world. And often that involves physical activities and violence to free these people. But he has said so eloquently, you don't have to do that. There's so many ways you can stand up. How about the neighbor lady in your block who's a widow and needs some help? How about the kid in your church that dad has abandoned? What if you put your arm around him and took him fishing? There's so many little things that we can do that can make a big difference. And the reality is, the world won't recognize it, but that doesn't matter. It's those important things, because you and I both know, and Dr. Dobson has taught us so well, we're going to be so much happier when we reach outside of ourselves and we're serving God to do exactly what Jesus did. He didn't come to earth to be served. He came to serve. And when we serve, we all know the happiest people we ever meet are the ones that are out serving others. Then the trials that we're going through simply don't look as big.
Beautifully said. You mentioned a little earlier that Dr. Dobson has had a great impact on your lives and the directions you ended up going and so forth. But do you remember when you first came across Dr. Dobson, or he came across you, or whatever?
We did. One of the staff on Dr. Dobson's ministry was a guy named Lindsay Spathy, and I first encountered Focus on the Family at that time while I was still there by calling and saying, hey, I discovered that a really tough issue, and I wonder if you guys could help me. And so they sent me some publications. Then Lindsay gave me a call. First guy out of the blue is a stranger that prayed for me. And after
we over the phone, yes.
Wow.
And after we got acquainted, he called and said, John, we want to invite you to the Washington briefing. And I'm sure that's probably where I first met you. And I said, Lindsay, I think you have me confused with somebody. I'm a young man. I'm in the real estate business. I don't need money. He said, it doesn't make any difference. So we were invited to drink from a fire hose, the briefing. Yeah. And I still remember we were in the elevator and Jim Dobson got on the elevator with us and we said hi. And we attended that Washington briefing and I just developed so much respect for him and what he was doing through that. And it just, it grew. And I discovered something that the guy that discipled me taught me, and that is, if we will simply ask God to say we'd like to serve, he will take us on the wildest adventures you can ever imagine. And you just have to remember that God is in the habit of using incompetent people such that when things happen, it's obvious that it was God, not you. You were simply allowed to be used in the process.
Mm. Yes, the saying that God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called.
Yes.
And so we need to show up even when we don't feel like we're adequate for the job. And then when the success happens, we realize, whew, that was God working in me. That is so amazing.
My heart breaks for people that have never experienced that. But, you know, when you get along in life and then you look back on the journey, and then all these places where God ended up laying on your hearts something that only in retrospect does it become clear that that was God working on you and directing your path. We hear this time and time again on Family Talk when wonderful folks like you come on and share your stories, that if we just will take a moment and listen, we'll hear what he wants us to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John and Mary Lois, this has been a fantastic conversation. I've only got one problem. I've got about eight more things I want to ask you, and I know how busy you guys are, but would you mind coming back for a second day with us?
Oh, we'd be humbled.
It's a privilege.
Well, what a great memory of our founder, Dr. James Dobson, and how his heart for discipleship continues to shape lives and ministries all around the world, even today. You've been listening to a very special edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, featuring our own Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the JDFI and host of the Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast. Gary's been sharing an inspiring conversation with us with John and Mary Lois Gibson. Now, to go back and listen to any part of the program that you may have missed, go to drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. And while you're online with us, be sure to take a moment to check out a wonderful new free resource that can make a real difference in your home. Sign up for the Raising Kids with Love and Limits email series. It's based on Dr. Dobson's timeless wisdom from his Complete Marriage and Family Reference Guide. Whether you're dealing with toddler tantrums or teenage tantrums, teenage challenges in general, these practical insights will help you create the loving boundaries your children need to thrive. Now, you can sign up today at drjamesdobson.org. The powerful testimonies you hear on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk would not be possible without friends like you who believe in strengthening families through biblical truth. And even though Dr. Dobson went home to be with the Lord last month, our ministry work is far from over. When you support the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, you become an essential partner in this ongoing ministry, carrying out the dynamic legacy of Dr. Dobson for generations to come. Your partnership helps us reach people right where they are, providing biblical guidance to families worldwide. Now, to make a secure donation, visit drjamesdobson.org. You can also write to us at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949. And by the way, if you'd like to reach us by phone, you can always talk with a member of our constituent care team when you call 877-732-6825. As we continue the work that Dr. Dobson began nearly 50 years ago, we encourage you to take a moment to visit his memorial website, where you can explore the incredible impact of his life's work. You can leave your own heartfelt remembrance, or you can make a tribute gift in his honor. It's a meaningful way to celebrate a man who dedicated his life to strengthening families and standing firm on timeless biblical principles. You'll love the videos, the photographs, the written remembrances that you'll find there, and you'll find all of this and more at a special website. It's jamesdobsonmemorial.com. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and from all of us here at the JDFI and the Family Talk broadcast, thanks so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time when Gary Bauer returns to continue his conversation with John and Mary Lois Gibson on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.